good afternoon, and welcome to Your DIY Health here on the People's Patriot Network. I'm your host, Sergeant Jim Ram, retired. And as usual, as soon as I get on the air, my goobers and my throat start up. Anyway, it is Wednesday, November 7th, 2018. And the best part of today, no more political ads. I hope, anyway. Hopefully we're done with those for a while. Anyway, this program is meant to present nutritional information only and is in no way meant to replace the advice of a competent medical professional, assuming you can find one. I'm not a doctor, and that's a good thing. In my opinion, the doctors most people go to see when they have a health issue, MDs, are wrapped around the axle of their training. Unfortunately, their training is in drugs and surgery, and it doesn't equip them to treat the over 900 chronic health issues that are proven to be a result of a nutritional deficiency. I am simply someone who's been studying under the tutelage of one of, if not the top nutritional authorities in the world, Dr. Joel Wallach. Now, I don't treat diseases. I don't even treat people. I simply advise people how to give their bodies the raw materials they need to support and maintain good health. And when the body has what it needs, it'll fix itself. The body wants to fix itself. The body knows how to fix itself. It has a God-given innate ability to do so. The only thing it's missing is the raw materials. And when you put those back into the mix, stand back and wait to be amazed, because your body is going to do some really cool stuff. Now, you can visit my website at yourdiyhealth.com. That's yourdiyhealth.com. And there's all kinds of information up there. Been posting things, updating, and that kind of stuff for quite a while now. And we have new sources of information for you. And I encourage you to check all that out. While you're on the homepage, please check out the... scroll to the bottom of the homepage and look for the Facebook button. If you click on that, it'll take you right to the Facebook page set up for the program. And I've been posting articles up there, several this morning even, that I think you'll find interesting. And we may get to some of them today. We may not. So there's a better chance making sure that you have a chance to see it by checking it out on your own. And I think you'll find it very, very interesting. Also, you can check out our new CBD oil product by CTFO on about the middle of the homepage. And great products. The link's there. There's a video there that talks about CBD and a little history about hemp, the differences between hemp and marijuana that so many people are unaware of. And I encourage you to check that out. And we do have a toll-free number for longevity product orders, and that's 855-80-YOUNG, 855-809-6864. Again, 855-809-6864. And Jeff Selle and Robert are standing by ready to take your calls. They're very knowledgeable in both product line and the home-based business opportunity. So if you got any questions about anything regarding the longevity products, give them a call at 855-809-6864. Now, for the other things, the CTFO CBD oils or the pulsed electromagnetic therapy unit that's mentioned on the Trinity of Health page, those things you need to contact me directly, which you can do by clicking the Contact Me button. And that gives you the option of using the phone or email to send me a message. Just keep in mind, if you use email, I do not answer during the show. Or I do not look at them during the show, but I do check them afterwards, and anything that comes in will get a response within an hour or two. And if you choose the call, then obviously don't do it during the show, because I'm doing the show, and I won't be able to answer. But if you do call later, keep in mind, I get so many robocalls and telemarketer calls and things like that that I pretty much always have my phone on Do Not Disturb. If I see a call coming in that I recognize the person, then I answer the phone. But if I see a new number, I let voicemail take it. Just leave me a message, and I will call you back. But don't be surprised if I don't answer if you're a first-time caller. Just because I get so many of these things, even though my phone is on the national Do Not Call list, that means absolutely nothing to these people. And I get so many crap calls that I just don't answer it anymore unless I know who's calling. So once I've got you on in the... or I know who you are, I put you in my address book, and that way anytime it comes up, I see your name, and then I feel free to answer. But if it's first time, just leave a message, and I will get back with you. All righty. Let's see. Also, we have a on the if you go to the radio shows tab on the website, you'll see at the bottom of the page a chat room, which you can use to post questions and things like that, especially if you're one of those folks that either cannot or don't feel comfortable calling into a show today. Let's see here. We already got one person in the chat room, Laura Lee. Good to see you. And we'll talk about what you're bringing up here soon. Let's see here. So it's there. You know, you can chat amongst yourselves, and you can also, if you can't use the phone or don't want to use the phone, you can put questions in there, and hopefully I will see them, unlike the other day when Carl was posting questions and I missed them totally. Sorry about that, Carl. But also, on the top of the homepage, you'll see the link for our new archive page. Roger was talking about it during the last program, his show. It's chatbox.fm, I believe, but I have the link right on my my radio shows page, where you can just click on it and it'll take you right to the archive page that I've set up for this program. So if you missed a show, keep in mind we just started using it last week, so I've only got maybe 10 or 12 shows listed up there right now, but every single day when the show's over, probably within half an hour, I've got the replay and archive up there, and you'll be able to catch it. So just check that out and enjoy. Share it with friends, family, whatnot. But it's another way there, because a lot of people have asked about replays of shows and things like that. So now they are up there and they are available. Alrighty. And lastly, keep in mind that the topics discussed and opinions mentioned on this show are those of the host and or guests, and don't necessarily represent the opinions of the People's Patriot Network, its owners or sponsors, or any of the alphabet agencies out there listening in and hopefully learning something. Also, nothing said on the show should be construed as diagnosis, treatment, or cure of any health issue. As a responsible adult, it's in your best interest to do your own due diligence and make sure that what you're hearing is right for you. Don't take my word for it. Don't take anyone's word for it. And especially if you're dealing with a chronic health issue, do not take the word of an MD, because given half a chance, they will kill you. And lastly, the number to call into the show today is 614-426-8787. 614-426-8787. And that number is available anytime you hear me talking. If you hear replays, bottom of the hour breaks, or anything like that, then just hold off until you hear me talking again, and it'll be fair game to call in. So that pretty much covers all the housekeeping stuff, and I'm going to get these notes out of the way. Let's see here. Set it up for tomorrow. Tomorrow's the 8th of November. Whew. Man, this year's going by fast. And the chat room is up. So Laura Lee said, wow, I'm so bummed that Pan got reelected. What can those Californians be thinking? Wonder how many votes were bought by big, I think you mean pharma. Big pharma. Maybe not. Play on words. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to check any of the other states. I was just looking at Ohio last night. And luckily, most of the right people won here in Ohio. There were a few that, you know, bozos that slipped through the cracks, obviously, in the brain dead area, also known as the blue sections of the state. And it's a shame, and I'm sure that's what happened in California. I mean, they've been out there, you know, I don't know what they do, you know, sucking in the smog and stuff, I guess, but their brains aren't functioning properly, and they reelect idiots like that that are just trying to destroy this country, destroy the health of the people and everything else. Last night was the last time I had a chance to check the general overall look of things, and from what I understand, the Republicans held their and actually increased their majority in the Senate, but they lost the House, and the Democrats have taken over. I don't know what the spread is. I haven't seen any official numbers. But that may actually turn out to be a good thing, because in the House, you know, they are going to just go crazy. You know, they've been talking about impeachment. Of course, you know, they can try and impeach in the House, but even if they do, when it gets to the Senate, it won't make it, and that's where the trial takes place. So, you know, it's a lost cause. But knowing those idiots, they will still try and do it. And they are so malignantly dumb, is the way Dr. Wallach puts it, that they're gonna go off half cocked and start doing all kinds of stupid things. They're gonna call this a mandate for their side of the issue, and they are going to literally bring stupid to a whole new level, I honestly believe. And when we have to put up with that for 2 years, by the time the 2020 elections come around, unless something really crazy happens, which I don't expect, I think we're going to keep going in the right direction. Trump will get reelected, and I think he will take the House and Senate on his coattails. They'll have, you know, the American people will have enough of the stupidity coming out of the House that they'll say, that's it, we're done with this. At least I'm hoping that's what will happen. In the meantime, hopefully they'll be neutered and won't be able to really do much of anything, because they're never going to get whatever their goofy stuff is past the Senate, and of course it won't be able to withstand a veto. So, you know, that's kind of where we are at this point. At least that's my assessment of it. But it is really crazy. And I'm honestly quite surprised, and I bet if you do a count, if they really do some forensic investigation of the election, you'll find out that in the areas where these Democrats, you know, were elected, enough to give them control of the House, that there was massive, massive voter fraud. It's probably in areas where there's no voter ID required, probably in areas where they were busing in, you know, busloads of illegals, and, you know, dead people probably voted in record numbers, and everything else you can imagine. I'm sure that that's probably what's taking place. And it's a real shame because, you know, it should be illegal. If someone votes Republican their whole life, they have to vote Republican after they die. Simple as that. They should not be allowed to switch parties after death. And that would clear up a lot of the problems. And once again, there should be identification required for every single person casting a ballot. I don't care how you do it. And we ought to go back to paper ballots. And on top of that, manual tabulation, because it makes no difference how the ballot is cast. If it goes into a computer system, then regardless of whether it's paper ballots, electronic, whatever, once it's in a computer, someone can hack into that computer and change the numbers, and no one would know unless they go back and do a physical recount again. And it's just a messed up system. And it's going to get worse and worse because George Soros is in it. I heard something the other day that supposedly he had his assets seized. I'm hoping that's the case. And I'm hoping that those 45,000-plus sealed indictments will start being unsealed, and some of these people will be put in jail, pending execution, with any luck. So anyway, the reason I talk about this stuff is this kind of thing does affect your health. Now, if you get a Democrat majority in the House and Senate, I mean, heaven help us, the bills that they'll be passing, trying to pass mandatory vaccination bills and all kinds of things, you know, another Obamacare law, you know, think that doesn't affect your health? Ask the people that died because of the death panels and everything else, and all the other stupid things that they've done over the years. It's just sad. So that's why we cover that kind of stuff here, because it does directly or even indirectly affect our health. And I didn't really have anything in particular that I wanted to pounce upon today. If anyone has any other things they want to drop into the chat room, or if they have any questions, you know, like I said, feel free to call in. It's just us, 614-426-8787, 614-426-8787. And, look at this. Natural News. Detailed midterm election analysis reveals three outcome scenarios, and two of them lead to civil war. I figure no matter what happened, you know, somebody's not going to be happy. And luckily, you know, this is probably the best scenario where things don't get too out of craziness out of hand. Now, if the Republicans had maintained control in both houses, there's no telling what the left would be doing right now. Probably burning inner cities and looting and all the things that they like to do when they get butt hurt and upset. They just, you know, go off on rampant criminal behavior. And, of course, the media calls it protests when, in fact, it's riots and illegal activity. And just scary, scary stuff. So let's see here. I'm just going to open this up for the fun of it. Detailed midterm election analysis reveals three outcome scenarios, and two of them lead to civil war. Natural News, midterm elections are tomorrow, which, you know, detailed is, you know, this is an older one, obviously. It's from Monday. So let's see how they predicted things, and we'll go from there. In a detailed analysis, a video shown below, I lay out three scenarios, possible outcomes. One, Democrats take the House, but GOP keeps the Senate, and which we know now is what happened. Number two is GOP keeps the House and the Senate. Number three, election results remain in limbo for an extended period of time due to accusations of election meddling and fraud. I haven't heard anything like that, but then I haven't had the news on since last night. As I explained in my video, in all three outcomes, President Trump fires Jeff Sessions and appoints an aggressive new attorney general who unleashes a wave of indictments against deep state anti-American traitors on the left. Remember that even if Democrats take the House, that control won't take effect until January. That is true. This leaves roughly 2 months for the Trump administration to go after the deep state criminals on the left who are systematically destroying or working to destroy America and impeach the president. The limbo scenario and how it could lead to open revolt, social chaos, and martial law. I just saw a flicker in the chat room. Just wanted to make sure I didn't miss something. One possible outcome of is the limbo scenario, where the control of the House is determined by a very small number of seats that were achieved with very narrow margins. If the candidates refuse to concede, vote counts could extend for several days. But there's another scenario that could push this out several weeks or months. If the GOP candidates lose by very small margins, they may rightfully claim the election was stolen by a coordinated censorship smear effort that has been carried out by the tech giants and the left-wing media for the last 2 years. That's entirely true. By selectively censoring conservative voices, tech companies like Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter have committed massive election meddling that denies Americans their right to engage in public debate and conversation, a pillar of any democratic society. Fair and free elections require free speech, but that free speech has been selectively stifled by left-leaning tech companies that clearly have an agenda to put Democrats in power by silencing conservative voices. And that's definitely been going on. You know, when you talk to people that are obviously clueless as to what's really happening, and it's because they've been buying up or just swallowing the crap on, you know, these are people that, you know, primarily millennials who spend the vast majority of their time on social media, and they're just absorbing everything they hear, all the lies about what's going on, and they parrot it. And when you talk to them, it's like, where are you getting this stuff?
Well, I get it from Facebook, or I get it from Twitter.
Well, guess what? It's all controlled, and you're being spoon-fed a bunch of lies, and you're buying it hook, line, and sinker. Now, some of them will actually say, huh? And if they'll listen to you, and you give them the right information, but many of them are so brain-dead and spoon-fed that they don't want to believe that what they're getting is incorrect, and they just carry on. So, again, it's a scary situation, scary scenario. I want to see which one of these things leads to the Civil War. Okay, this is election meddling fraud on a national scale, and the challenge to the validity of the entire election could conceivably end up in the hands of the U.S. Supreme Court, where Gorsuch and Kavanaugh confirmations have now given Republicans a clear advantage. And I wouldn't go that far. They are nowhere near, you know, Gorsuch is a pretty good guy. Kavanaugh is kind of milquetoast. You know, I don't really expect a lot out of him. He'll probably rule in the right direction most of the time, but I wouldn't, you know, I'm not putting any pressure or putting any money on that race. Anyway, if this scenario takes place, and if the SCOTUS decision reverses an election victory that Democrats thought they held, giving control of the House of Representatives back to the GOP, you can fully expect the lunatic left to erupt with nationwide violence and mass civil unrest. Yeah. This would quickly be followed by some form of martial law, with National Guard troops on the streets to protect communities against the lawlessness and chaos of left-wing protesters. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, we've had a lot of this stuff already, and that's never happened. It's not difficult to see such a scenario escalating to full-blown civil war. As I explained in my video below, the left also erupts of the GOP. The left also erupts of the GOP keeps, if the GOP keeps the House, I think they meant. So two out of three outcomes here lead to some form of civil unrest that likely escalates to civil war. This is all the more reason why you should vote against the Democrats in every election. They do not believe in democracy. Yeah, they do. Democracy is absolutely crap. Democracy is what's destroying this country. They don't believe in a republic. And if they don't win, they will use violence and terrorism to try and steal power that they could not legitimately gain via elections. Watch the video here. And I'm going to put that in the chat room. Boink. And I'm not going to put it. Well, I suppose I can put it on the Facebook page. Why not? There we go. All righty then. Now, let's see. Excuse me. Midterm election outcome. Avoid worst case civil war scenario. Here's what to expect next. And this is today. This will be interesting. Now that the election's over, you may recall that months ago I warned of a particular scenario that would lead to an eruption of mass violence on the left escalating to civil war. That scenario involves two triggers. One, Kavanaugh being confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and two, GOP holding the House in the midterm elections. As we all know, the GOP lost the House, handing Dems enough of a split victory to avoid them taking to the streets in an eruption of violence. Thus, the worst-case civil war scenario has been avoided for now. But make no mistake, Democrats only accept the outcome of this election because they won something. Had they failed to take the House, they would have denounced the election process and revolted with violence. They were fully prepared to do this, and the most radical Democrats remain dedicated to their goal of sweeping all constitutionalists out of power, assassinating the president, and installing a communist leader to run their utopian society rooted in authoritarianism. Last night, America dodged a bullet, but the violence, the tyranny, and the absolute hatred toward America remains very much alive and well in the hearts and minds of the Democrats. This election outcome may have delayed the Civil War, but it has in no way healed the sharp divide that now exists across America. That's for sure. Get ready for 2 years of pure comedy from the House. What did I just say? Radical left-wing socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez will take office in January, oh goodness, as the youngest woman to ever be elected to the House. Her economic illiteracy will provide two solid years of pure comedy showcasing the economic lunacy of the left. She's going to be right up there with Hank Thomas, I think it is, the guy that thinks was worried that Guam was going to flip over because it had too many people on it and it would capsize. This is the kind of people that the left elects. And it's crazy, but they put them there because they're absolute morons and they have somebody that's handling them that tells them how to vote so that they get their crap through. Anyway, she's just getting warmed up. By the way, when she says that the way to pay for $40-plus trillion demands in new spending is just pay for it, and when asked where exactly that the money would come from, her answer is, "You haven't earned the right to ask me that question." It's only going to get even funnier from here. Ocasio-Cortez winning the House seat is a dream come true for the GOP. Yep. The left should make her Speaker of the House, especially given the fact that Nancy Pelosi is suffering from such an adverse stage of dementia she can barely speak at all. The Dems are about to prove they are the champions of medicated legislating, where the proposed laws that come spilling out of the House are echoes of Big Pharma's drug side effects. Oh, man, that's good. In another fact that writes its own punchline, crazed idiot Adam Schiff will take over the Intelligence Committee. Oh, boy. This wide-eyed loony displays a shivering resemblance to the man named Applewhite, the former cult leader in the California cult named Heaven's Gate. Boy, he does. They got a picture of it here. My goodness. Applewhite told his followers an alien mothership hiding behind Halley's Comet would rendezvous with them to rescue the group from Earth. Believing this is his bizarre story, the cult members committed mass suicide to teleport themselves to the mothership. To the great disappointment of the rational vote in California voters, Schiff was not amongst them. Now Schiff has his own cult. It's called California Democrat Voters, and they're about as connected to reality as the Heaven's Gate cult loonies. Schiff promises to use his newfound congressional powers or congressional powers to investigate Russia collusion, a fabricated hoax that has about as much chance of being true as an alien mothership hiding behind Halley's Comet. And there's Mad Maxine Waters. I can't even do justice to this woman's caricature of frantic lawmaker, but she's going to provide a never-ending stream of comedic episodes that will keep us rolling on the floor through 2020. She's also dangerous, too, so we have to find ways to keep a lid on her repeated calls for impeachment and mob violence. Mad Maxine is exactly what you get when mass chemical poisoning and media programming dumbs down voters to the intellect of a ferret. I love this. It's time to push back against lunacy and lawlessness. To save America, it's time for all of us to push back against the left's lunacy, lawlessness, censorship, and fraud. Early next week, I plan to release a 20-point plan of attack on how America, defeat the lawless left and the treasonous deep state, the criminal tech giants, and the anti-American media that's run by globalists who are diligently working to destroy our constitutional republic. Watch for that over the next few days. America is on the verge of being overrun, but there is a way to defend her from the onslaught. More articles and videos coming soon. See brighteon.com, that's BRIGHTEON.com, for new videos every hour posted by patriots who love America. I may have to start doing one of those. It might be fun. Oh, boy. That's pretty interesting. Pretty much called it the way I'm seeing it. You know, those turkeys that are in there now, like I said, they're going to see it as a mandate. And I want to see what the actual split was. How big of a victory did they have? Is it just one or two votes, or is it a whole bunch? Just have to wait and see, I guess. But let's get into more health-related stuff. Cow's milk is a symbol of white supremacy, says PETA. Oh, man. Let's do this one. Is the mysterious polio-like disease sweeping America caused by vaccines? Herbicide exposure? Let's have a look. Centers for Disease Control recently revealed they are investigating 155 possible cases of polio-like syndrome or acute flaccid myelitis. So far, 80 cases of acute flaccid myelitis, or AFM, have been confirmed in 25 states as of November 2, 2018. While health officials say they don't know what's causing the outbreak of polio-like symptoms in children, there are a few potential causes that are going unreported. Vaccines, migration, and exposure to toxins are all potential vectors of disease. But saying so isn't politically correct. Scientists have long since known that the oral polio vaccine can and does cause polio-like symptoms. Further, the CDC's own page on AFM notes that environmental toxins are another potential cause. The toxicity of agrochemicals like glyphosate, atrazine, and other pesticides is well documented, yet instead of addressing these issues, the CDC and the mainstream media are simply doubling down on their pro-vaccine rhetoric. Ironically, the CDC is claiming that these AFM cases are not polio virus, yet states that staying up to date on your vaccines will somehow help prevent this mysterious illness. Yeah, right. What is AFM and why would it be caused by vaccines? AFM is a polio-like syndrome that's characterized by muscle weakness and paralysis. It is considered a neurological condition which has degenerative effects on the central nervous system, especially the spinal cord. So far, it has predominantly been affecting children, and CDC officials say they do not know what is causing the uptick in AFM. We don't know what caused the increase in AFM cases starting in 2014, the federal agency's website states. Scrolling down. According to NBC, doctors say the pattern of the reported cases strongly points to a virus. Experts reportedly say that the primary suspect is a distant relative of polio called enterovirus D68 or EVD68. But are doctors neglecting the fact that the polio vaccine causes more cases of disease than wild polio? In 2017, NPR reported that vaccine-derived polio-like illness was far more common than wild polio. These cases look remarkably similar to regular polio, but laboratory tests show they're caused by remnants of the oral polio vaccine that have gotten loose in the environment, mutated, and regained their ability to paralyze unvaccinated children. Jason Bobian writes for NPR. And notice they had to put in paralyze unvaccinated children, trying to push for vaccines again. Raul Andino, professor of microbiology at University of California at San Francisco, told NPR, "We discovered there's only a few mutations that have to happen, and they happen rather quickly in the first month or two post-vaccination. As the vaccine starts circulating in the community, it acquires further mutations that make it basically indistinguishable from the wild-type virus. It's polio in terms of virulence and in terms of how the virus spreads. Who is to say that the new polio-like illness is not the result of an unanticipated mutation? As NPR notes, the oral polio vaccine, the main driver of vaccine-derived polio, is still used in many countries around the world. This is one way in which mass migration could be fueling the AFM epidemic. People who were vaccinated with the oral polio vaccine and then migrate to the U.S. could well be spreading disease. Illegal immigration has long been indicated as a potential vector of disease for an array of reasons. So while CDC experts say that AFM is not being caused by any form of polio, it could be possible that it is not being caused, that it's not being caused by a form of polio that they know of." While officials are saying that EDV or EVD68 is a potential cause of AFM, sources say that just two of the initial 23 patients with AFM tested positive for EVD68. If the virus was a driving force of AFM, one would expect more patients to test positive for it. Scientists have yet to find any common thread on the onset of AFM among all patients, yet the left-wing media is bent on blaming some enterovirus that has apparently appeared in our environment out of thin air. Could it be environmental toxins? Another potential cause of the AFM outbreak is simple: exposure to toxins. Whether we recognize it or not, pesticides, herbicides, chemical fertilizers, and other noxious compounds have become a fixture of our environment. Whether we are talking about DDT, glyphosate, or something else entirely, it seems as though our health officials have forgotten that these chemicals we are spraying on the food and the food we eat and into the air we breathe are ultimately poisons. As sources report, through this intellectually paralyzing atmosphere, Dr. Biskin had the composure to argue that what he thought was the most obvious explanation for the polio epidemic. Central nervous system diseases, such as polio, are actually the physiological and symptomatic manifestations of the ongoing government and industry-sponsored inundation of the world's populace with central nervous system poisons. It would seem self-evident that neurotoxins are cause enough for a neurological problem like AFM. And surely the country's best and brightest scientists are aware of this fact. Moreover, the outbreak of AFM reportedly began in 2014, nearly four years ago. Does anyone really believe that after 4 years, the CDC still has no idea what is causing this problem? When Brazil's microcephaly crisis hit the world stage in 2016, CDC officials were almost immediately certain that it was caused by the Zika virus. It was later revealed, however, that this was a sham intended to cover up the fact that the government had dumped a toxic larvicide into local water supplies. Isn't that special? The federal government may never reveal the true cause of this AFM outbreak to the public, but the CDC will probably come up with a vaccine for EVD-68 anyways. You can count on that. Anything they can do to force people to take these stupid things, they're going to do it. And that one is on the Facebook page, and we're going to drop it in the chat room here, just in case. Goodness gracious. So, anybody out there wants to call in, ask, talk about anything in particular, feel free. 614-426-8787. 614-426-8787 is the number to call in. We're here for another, 23 minutes roughly. Side effect syndrome. Why all prescription medications cause horrific health problems that are often worse than the condition being treated. That's true. Invasive weed from Africa found to be excellent protective agent for kidneys. Small tree from the witch hazel family can be used to promote wound healing and prevent bacterial infections. Silicon can be an ideal natural amendment for farms that have high salinization. Babies are less likely to develop milk allergy when they drink milk from cows fed a natural diet. That goes without saying. You know, you get one that's grass-fed, organic, no herbicides, no pesticides, no hormones and all that kind of stuff, you are going to see much, much healthier babies and much, much healthier people in general. It's when you start putting all this crap in the food that things really get bad. All right. Celery, humble veggie with cancer-healing properties, and cancer-causing properties for that matter. Why do I say that? Celery is one plant that needs lots and lots of nitrate fertilizer to grow well. And what do nitrates do? Sodium nitrate, sodium nitrite, they cause cancer. Yep. So if you eat a lot of celery, you could be giving yourself cancer down the road. Colorectal cancer especially. Reclaiming the full intent of the Second Amendment. Oh, let's have a see. Let's see at that one. That has a lot to do with your health, too, for obvious reasons. You know, one of the things I got a kick out of, I was looking at the local voter guide I'd received. Can't remember who put it out, but it was like a Christian coalition or it was definitely a conservative group. And one of the questions they were asking the governor's candidates and the House and Senate candidates here in Ohio was, do you believe that a person should have to get a permit to carry concealed? And with just about every single case, the conservatives or Republicans said no, and the Democrats said yes, which is not surprising. Reclaiming the full intent of the Second Amendment. And I don't know why this page is so small. Let's make it a little bit bigger and easier to read. There we go. We are, as supporters of the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights, already an endangered culture. We are vilified in the media and in the universities. We are disparaged for believing in the honor and responsibility of the individual. We remain as an unwanted bridge between self-authority, sovereignty, and the life of an individual, and a future in which there is no sovereignty except for that of the collective and the technocracy it will serve. Our heirs have unwittingly accepted citizenship in the brave new technocracy of globalism, with satellite surveillance, constant monitoring, and a culture of self-limiting censorship. Our grandchildren may never know the privacy of their own thoughts, for those are technologically accessible even now. They will have no free will. The technological sophistication and global correctedness that we adore have come in exchange for the surrender of our privacy, and though we may not have realized it, this is a sedition or seduction with a much deeper cost. It supplants our inherent and innate capacity as natural beings, already consciously and subconsciously connected with an existence or with all of existence, with an artificial overlay of technology. Instead of realizing our natural evolution as fully conscious beings, we are on the verge of becoming merely batteries in a post-human matrix. The only thing standing in the way of total surveillance 5G global nanny state is the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, and the conscience and integrity of the American people. And California leads the way. Oh boy. Progressives who pretend to protect natural and civil rights know too well that the Constitution is the only thing that stops their march toward a totalitarian technocracy and the imposition of what amounts to neo-Marxist slavery. California is forging its way towards the confiscation of all firearms and the elimination of the Second Amendment. Progressive globalists who ignore the intent and reject the purpose of the Second Amendment are fully aware of the consequence of disarming the people. Moreover, they are counting on it. Free speech is only for those with Soros-funded scripts. The right to assemble is forbidden to conservative voices. Vandalism and violence are the tools of the triggered. Their wordplay is no accident. We are all being pitted against one another in groups intersecting, dissecting, and tearing us apart. California's globalists are attempting a Cal exit so that they might totally reject what they view as restrictions on the Constitution in their goal of a collectivist society. A Silicon Valley billionaire has sponsored a ballot initiative that would keep California in the United States, but divided into three new states, gerrymandered to weaken the conservative vote and increase California's globalist influence on the rest of the country. Small businesses and the conservative middle class are being driven out of California. With their exodus go opportunities for self-sufficiency and the individual's dream of economic freedom. Constitutional conservatives, mostly in rural counties where voices and rights have been ignored by Sacramento, vow to remain a part of the United States and are reclaiming their constitutionally granted rights. Ooh, bad term. Bad term. Reclaiming their constitutionally granted rights. That is absolutely wrong. Excuse me, I read it wrong. They had it right. Constitutionally guaranteed rights. I'm so used to seeing it granted that I just automatically plugged that word in. My mistake. Yeah, he got it right. Constitutionally guaranteed rights. You know, we get nothing from the Constitution other than a guarantee. And their counties as New California. Threat to constitutionally protected rights. Progressive liberals push for the elimination of an archaic constitution that was written in part to corral the ambitions of the grifter and gangster politicians, most of them historically Democrats, who sought control over others first as slaves, then as segregated and dependent groups. Now the progressives are focused on grabbing guns, on defending free speech and as hate speech, as defining free speech as hate speech, turning gender into biologically irrelevant pronouns, and tearing down all personal and political boundaries out of the feigned compassion, all for the greater good of the collective. The neocons, for their part, are helping drive the wars. Good grief. We the people are tasked with personal responsibility as individuals and as groups of individuals to defend our natural rights as recognized and honored by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Our rights and our responsibilities precede the Declaration of Independence and all of our founding documents. If, God forbid, those who support a constitutional convention indeed open a door to rewriting the Constitution, it disavows the guaranteed protection of our national rights. We, the people, are still bound by our personal responsibility to defend those rights. And that's exactly right. It doesn't make any difference what they do with the Constitution, with the Bill of Rights, because we don't get our rights from them. We still have those rights. We had the rights before the documents were written, and we will have the rights long after those documents are gone. And we have to stand up for them. The only thing that makes those rights go away is us failing to protect our rights. Keep that in mind. protection of our rights. The Constitution of the United States does not, nor was it intended, to grant us our rights. Good, this guy's got it. Instead, it acknowledges and guarantees by law the protection of our natural rights because they are inherent in our status as human beings. That includes the right to speak the truth, even when others are offended by it. That includes the right to have our personal space, our privacy, not infringed upon by corporate or government intrusion, surveillance, and monitoring. That includes the right not to quarter government surveillance technology in our homes. It is likewise our right to defend our children from excessive and unnecessary vaccines. That would be all of them. From exposure to potentially unhealthy levels of radiation, from our communications devices, and from 5G. And if you don't know about 5G, check into it. It's not good. It is the right of families to educate their children at home without the imposition of political agendas, core education, or spuriously constructed sex ed instruction. It is our natural and constitutionally protected right, our responsibility, our duty to defend our persons, our children, our families, our property, and our homes, to stop the violations against our health, our well-being, our privacy, our property, and our right to be free people. The intent of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is timeless, for our founders grasp that self-defense is threefold. Every free individual must protect themselves against the evil will of the man, the mob, and the state. Tiffany Madison. Second Amendment as an acknowledgement and guaranteed protection of our rights. It is as pertinent and vital today as it was when the Constitution and Bill of Rights were originally penned. The intent and purpose of the Second Amendment was then and is now the same. Individual people must retain the information, ability, training, and weaponry to defend themselves, their homes, and their property, their state, and their nation from tyranny. That holds true whether tyranny stems from outside of the national borders or is rooted deep within. Exactly. And unfortunately, they give the Second Amendment, and as usual, it's got the wrong punctuation. A well-regulated militia, comma, being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed. There should only be one comma, and it's after free state. It should read, the well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And I have seen that proper punctuation in original documents, and for some reason, they have been plugging this old crap, this new crappy version with three commas as a way to break up the wording and make people think it means something different. The militia is the people. Regulated, that word means well-trained, exactly. To use the intent of our founders, armed not only with weapons, as is our right, but also to be adequate information from which to discern the truth, with a comprehensive historical perspective, and with the responsibility to understand the precious nature of our rights, all of them. And that's right, a well-regulated militia means all the people of this country properly trained and properly equipped. That's what a well-regulated militia is. It's all of us. It's not the National Guard, it's not the Army, it's not nothing else. It's the people. And, of course, it's necessary to the security of a free state, because otherwise, what do you have? You have a tyranny, you have a, dictatorship. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, because that's the only way you can maintain a well-regulated militia. Very straightforward, very easy to understand unless you're an idiot Democrat. The Declaration of Independence was written by the Founding Fathers, the Founding Rebels, and leaders of the Revolution to declare their defensible freedom from the tyrannical King George of England. The arms, the weapons of rebellion, were technologically equal to the weapons of tyranny at the time. Exactly. We had, the individuals had basically the same stuff, which is the way it should be. If the government can possess it, then we can possess it. Period. If you do a little checking, you'll find that during the Revolution, a large number of the field artillery pieces were privately owned on our side. Imagine that. We had cannons. If we want to own a howitzer now, we can. Anyway, the arms, the warfare, the rebellion, were technologically equal, you know, the same. Anyway, the framers of the Constitution would have found it unthinkable that the people of the militia would not possess adequate weaponry, weapon technology to defeat the tyrannical aggression that sought to bind them. Arms, as represented in the Second Amendment, must always be equal to the weapons of tyranny of their times. Exactly. Machine guns, tanks, bazookas, armored personnel carriers, airplanes, you name it. There's no limit. Because guess what? The government gets its abilities, its authorities, from us. We cannot give what we don't already possess ourselves. So, in other words, if you think locally, the reason police officers are able to carry firearms openly or concealed is because we have provided them with that ability as a delegation of authority. If we don't have the authority to do it ourselves, we cannot delegate that authority to our employees. So in other words, you don't have to have a permit to carry a gun openly or concealed. You have the ultimate God-given right to do so. And as a result, you have delegated that same authority to your employees, law enforcement officials and such, and extending even further to government and for authorities like the military. We have that authority, therefore we can grant it to them as well. So, the arms that we bear in defense of our rights, okay, I already did that. What this translates to is our right and capability to resist, halt, and, if necessary, disable any and all weaponized methods and tools of aggression being used in any capacity to violate our constitutionally protected natural rights. I've got to move my clock so I can see it here, or I'm going to run over. All righty. Weaponized tools of tyranny. The tyranny of our time is high-tech, invasive, omnipresent, and insidious. It is an extension of corporate and ultra-constitutional legal actions towards pacification and control. It is deceptive, persuasive, and mind-numbing in its effectiveness. But it is, nonetheless, only the more sophisticated version of the age-old quest to control the lands, the people, and the sources by resources by conquest and control. The scale has always been global. The technology has changed. The tyranny that our forefathers or forebears risked everything to cast off has incrementally encroached into every aspect of our lives, destroying not only our fleeting freedoms, but threatening our very existence. It is a historical prerequisite of conquest to either disarm or overpower a subject population for annihilation or control. Every other nation whose people have surrendered their weapons, their ability to repel aggression against them to their government in the name of utopian peace was summarily overrun with deadly force. How do we defend ourselves against all of this? We must recognize this encroachment for what it is. Recognize our role in shifting the course of possible outcomes and take assertive actions that ought to stop all treacherous actions, aggressions against us. The only time liberty has appeared in human society is when the population is privately armed with deadly weapons. To reach the acme of liberty, interesting term, they, the privately armed population, have to have the same weapons available to them that the government has available to them, the government. John Taylor Gatto, assessing Quigley's words from the book Tragedy and Hope. This is quite the lengthy article. Suffice it to say, okay, there's a little bit left here. Modern weapons of war far outstrip the ability of the individual or any population to maintain the balance intended by the framers, Intrusive surveillance, monitoring, and control technologies used in war and at home are likewise upsetting the balance. Indeed, it is apparent that weapons of stealth in the form of 5G, constant surveillance, and data gathering are already among their tools of control. our response. We have neither the resources nor the morbid desire to meet power for power with the advanced tech weaponry and planet-killing capability of any military power, even as elements of the globalization movement would have those weapons turned on us. What we do have is the authority to call out to the perpetrators of tyranny and cast light on the insurrection against our freedom. We have to stop being complicit in the implementation of the treason through our ignorance. We can no longer be used like pawns in the chess game, soldiers on the field and in our own annihilation. It is our love for our families, our freedoms, and our country in which we find the strength and resolve to reclaim our rights and our authority under the law. Reclaiming the Second Amendment. Every system of technology that is used to intimidate, threaten, harm, destroy, or otherwise infringe upon the natural rights of sovereign individuals or state or nation as protected by the Constitution and Bill of Rights is a weaponized system of technology. Everything from our bureaucratic legal system to our children's education to the Internet to our ability to grow our own gardens has been propagandized for pro-globalist compliance and weaponized in defense of protections under the Constitution, and weaponized in defiance of the protections under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We have witnessed the nullification and neutering of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in constant and incremental degrees. And guess who's done all that? That's right, those who just took over the House. Weaponized bureaucracies have confiscated land and imprisoned ranchers as terrorists. Weaponized media censors truth and honest journalism. Weaponized surveillance invades our homes, our conversations, and eliminates our privacy. Free speech is at a whisper, and the instruments of our freedom are nearly dead. The last bastion of defense of our rights is the Second Amendment. Our founders understood this when they insisted on guaranteeing this protection. It is for this time and for our future that we must be the well-informed and well-trained militia. We must recognize the cold-hearted aggression and repel it in all its forms. Our arms must be the intelligence, the tools, the technology, the weaponry, and the law as necessary to reinstate our natural rights under the Constitution and Bill of Rights. We must be able to refuse without penalty any and all technologies and systemizations of tyranny and aggression. We must cast off the encroachment of globalism in favor of our freedom. We must reclaim our personal integrity as human beings and reject all that would diminish our freedoms. Not bad. That was pretty good. So, excuse me. That's an extremely important thing, and that's why I always tell people, do not get a permit to carry concealed. All you're doing is telling them where the guns are, so when the time comes to collect them all up, your door is going to get kicked in first. Simple as that. And there was another article I wanted to cover, and somehow it disappeared. But it is on my Facebook page, and if I can find it, I'm going to save it for tomorrow. I don't know where it went. That's weird. That's why I didn't get on it earlier. I was going over this other stuff when I totally forgot to cover the one I wanted to cover. But that's life in the big city. And that gives us something to talk about tomorrow. And that we shall do. I have to make sure that I just save this file or this article and don't lose it. So we are, goodness gracious, about 30 seconds out from the end, and it's been fun. I wish someone would have called in. Unfortunately, it's always more fun and more interesting when we have audience participation. I greatly prefer discussing the things that you're interested in rather than just going over stuff that I happen to stumble across. It makes for a far more interesting show, and hopefully if you have an interest in it, then more than likely other people will as well. So that's why I do what I do, and I encourage people to call in. But anyway, we are out of time for today. We've got more great programming coming up, and just keep in mind that you need to take care of your bodies because it's the only place you have to live. Have a great day, and we will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.